Grace and Lenten peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we'll look at this morning is found in Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 21. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who said, "He who confesses me before men, him shall I confess before my Father who is in heaven." Dear friends in Christ, do you like Coke or are you a Pepsi person? I think I'm among the very small minority of people who can honestly say I have no preference. I like them both. I buy whichever one is cheap. When you think about it, a lot of the questions that confront you in your life are like that one, aren't they? How you answer them isn't going to change your life much one way or the other. Other questions, though, are critical, and it matters a great deal how you answer. And every so often, you find yourself confronted with a question so essential, so foundational, that how you answer it will determine the whole course of your future life. The question we'll consider this morning is one of those. In the pleading, bewildered words of Pontius Pilate, we hear one of the most important questions of the Lenten season, indeed the most important question that any of us will ever have to answer. What then shall I do with Jesus? How strange it must all have seemed to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Each time he declared Jesus innocent, it only seemed to whip this Jerusalem crowd into a further pitch of frenzy. Something about this man was beginning to gnaw the governor's mind. Strangely enough, he found that he, Pontius Pilate, was becoming strangely frightened. "Look at the man," he said. "I can't condemn him. He has done nothing wrong." The Jews replied, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." And when Pilate heard that saying, he was even more afraid. Pilate was being forced to answer a question that was becoming increasingly difficult for him. What am I going to do with Jesus? The answer of the mob was unequivocal. Let him be crucified. But what if Jesus really was as innocent as he seemed? What if, and here the governor must have trembled a bit, what if he really is some sort of son of the gods? What then will happen to me if I condemn him to death? To make matters worse, even Pilate's wife was now turning up the heat. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." His fear and apprehension only grew. Pilate had a feeling he'd better find a way to release this Jesus, and he thought he had just the political maneuver to accomplish that. During the Passover festival, the governor would customarily release one criminal, ordinarily the one whom the crowd selected. But here Pilate changed the rules a bit. This time he gave them a choice between two, either Jesus or a depraved murderer named Barabbas. A brilliant solution, really. Surely, Pilate must have thought, this lets me off the hook, because not even the envious Jews could condemn Jesus if it meant releasing terrible criminal like Barabbas on the public. Imagine his shock when he put the choice to them. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they replied, "Barabbas." Utterly bewildered, Pilate then asked the question, a question that he could no longer avoid. "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." What then shall I do with Jesus? It was a question Pilate had to answer in the end. Oh, certainly he made a big show of washing his hands absolving himself of responsibility, whatever. That changed nothing. He'd answered the question all right. In the end, he'd gone along with the crowd and given his assent and assumed the responsibility for the death of the Son of God. What then shall I do with Jesus? It's a question that every human being has to answer for himself sooner or later. And washing your hands isn't an option. He who is not with me is against me, Jesus said. He who does not gather with me scatters. If you are unwilling to crucify him in unbelief, there's really only one other option available to you, and that is to confess him as your Lord and your Savior. I saw that bumper sticker again the other day, the one that says, "Smile, God loves you." We've seen and heard that phrase so often that it's become trite and meaningless. But it's true for all that. In fact, there's a way in which you can accurately measure God's love for you, and it's got nothing to do with smiley faces or bumper stickers. If you want to know how much God loves you, take a good long look at Jesus on the cross. There, in the throes of writhing agony, he bore the punishment your sins deserve. There he ransomed you from eternal death, not because you were worthy, not because you were his friend, but despite the fact that you were by nature his enemy. There he endured hell for the specific purpose so that you could sit here this morning and hear me tell you, on his behalf, your sins are gone. Your sins are gone. Forgiven and forgotten by God, blotted from his book, cast into the depths of the sea. For he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. There on the cross, you can see your Savior's love for you. Now, my friend, you have to ask yourself a question. What then shall I do with Jesus? Pilate didn't know how to handle that question, but you and I do. With the faith God's given us, let us confess Christ boldly at every crossroads of our life. When a friend or a relative or a coworker asks you out of the blue, "Hey, what do you think happens to you after you die?" Well, then you have to ask yourself that question, don't you? What then shall I do with Jesus? Often a temptation to sin may bring you to a crossroads. When you're tempted to join others in abusing alcohol or drugs, remember the question, what then shall I do with Jesus? When you're about to disobey your parents or your dorm parents, when you're about to defy or disrespect your coach or your prof or your pastor, ask that question, what then shall I do with Jesus? When you're about to watch a movie or visit a website that you know no Christian ought to watch or visit, when you're tempted with anything, whatever the temptation happens to be, pause for just a moment and ask yourself, what then shall I do with Jesus? Pray the Lord for faith. It takes only a second. He'll help you. He's promised to make a way for you to escape. He'll give you the answer to the question, the answer that you need. I shall confess Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. A Christian man once asked God to make him into a sign, not a road sign along the way that people could either read or ignore as they chose, but a sign at the crossroads. He prayed that his life would be such a clear witness to Jesus that people who saw him would be forced to ask themselves that question, what then shall I do with Jesus? Let you and I be signs at the crossroads as well. On Calvary, your Savior confessed his love for you and all sinners. God grant us the grace to confess him each day as our Savior. Amen. We join this morning in singing hymn 550.